It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and joining me right now is a true renaissance man. In addition to being an advocate for health and wellness, as well as education, he is Eddie Papowski's number one fan. He is also an athlete. He is also a scholar. He is also a swell dancer and a neat dresser as well, and a doting grandfather, a fantastic loving husband, and a fantastic father, as well as a baseball awards presenter and a skier when ski season gets here, which is rapidly approaching. But we're going to take it one day at a time. We're going to take it one season at a time. And the man who knows how to take it one season at a time is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. He is Mr. Tom Raffio.
Thanks, Jay. And to give you a little scoop, the baseball dinner this year is actually going to be deferred until April, as opposed to November, right before Thanksgiving. And it's going to be done in conjunction with the grand opening of the 2024 baseball season, when we're introducing the new players who are the affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. So
Oh, nice. That's
my breaking news.
Okay.
But I'll still present, but it'll be April, not November. And speaking of athletic stuff, perfectly timed segue to introduce Dr. Randy Pierce, who's the president and CEO of Future Insight. Randy, thank you for joining me today.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity. Really, really excited to be here with you.
And I've gotten to know you over the years through many events, but more recently, you were one of 61 runners that appeared in the book Stories from the Starting Line. And boy, your athletic accomplishments are so compelling. We'll get into that. But before we get into that, can you kind of give, and take your time with this, can you give our listening audience a brief background on yourself and your long career, both professionally and athletically?
I sure can. You know, I grew up here in New Hampshire. I was born in Nashua, grew up in Colebrook, so I kind of covered both ends. And I just loved to be engaged and involved, right, in everything. Every sport, band, chorus, drama club, you know, anything that kept me from doing homework, that's what I wanted to be doing. But, you know, along that journey, began to pick up the school, went on to college at UNH, and I came out of college thinking I was going to be on top of the world, right? I had a great career in engineering ahead of me. And 1 year into that career, my life changed dramatically. That's ultimately led to where I am today, which is that in 2 weeks, I lost all of the sight in my right eye and half in my left eye, you know, instantly legally blind. And I didn't even know what legal blindness was, but, you know, suffice the journey to say, doctors are fantastic. We have such good health care. We're very lucky. They preserved my vision for 11 years before I went totally blind. I like to kind of joke that I must be illegally blind now, but the reality is those things are hard steps. Those are pretty big steps of adversity. And the organization that changed my life, which takes you from feeling isolated, helpless, and hopeless, was Future Insight. And they give you the tools, the skills to send you on to live your life, which they did, I did. And that began my desire to go from thinking I would no longer be able to play all those sports, do all those activities, to somebody who said, well, wait a second. It's not, I can't. It's how can I? Because there is some adaptation that you do to accomplish these things. And I was, you know, fortunately very successful, mostly because of surrounding myself with good people and learning from them. And that led to about 2 years ago when this organization was in need of a new leader and reached out, connected with me and said, not because I'm sight impaired, because I've never had a blind CEO previously, but said, we know you have a passion for what we can do. We think you have the skills. Why don't you come on board and help us reach some pretty big goals that are ahead? And there we are.
Well, that's a great, great, great summary. And I want to get into your athletic and physical endeavors, but let's stick with Future Insight. So as the leader of the organization, being visually impaired and as you said, 100% legally blind, I guess, how does that, what additional challenges does that create for you? Because I know as a leader of the organization, constantly, we're always being pulled at, tugged at to go to this event, go to that event, obviously meeting with employees, because we all know just what you said a few minutes ago, we're only as good as our team. So how does the sight challenge make your job even that much more difficult, or does it?
Sure. You know, I think a little of both. Like most things, they come with challenges and they come with gifts. You know, obviously, I have a passion and an understanding for the work we do. That's kind of the gift that comes. I do have to develop an agility to be able to react as technology changes, to be able to use the technology to the best of our abilities. You know, even today, as we're preparing for the Pulse, we make some adjustments to make sure that we understand how to do this using technology, because I am, right, 100% blind, no light perception, no motion. So all of the tools, you're responsible to understand the tools, how to use them to your best ability, and how to understand, right, that you're using the tool, not being used by the tool, right? And ultimately, transparent communication, learning to say, this is what I need in order to do this well. What do you need so that we can come together? Because it's that collaboration that makes things work powerfully.
Boy, I think I'm ready for my fifth book, because you just gave me two lines that I think I'm going to be used, which is not being used by the tools, but using them. And
Yeah.
that like a lot of things, a challenge can be, it's the yin and the yang. It can give you that gift of empathy, I guess, but also obviously creates challenges. Can you tell us, I know the name change occurred before you took over as its leader, but at one point, Future Insight was called the New Hampshire Association for the Blind, and now, of course, it's called Future Insight. Can you kind of describe that history of why the important change in the nomenclature?
Absolutely. I'd love to, because you never want to be the best kept secret. You want people to know who you are. And for over 100 years, we were the New Hampshire Association for the Blind, and we still are doing business as Future Insight. And the number one reason for the change was motivated by our primary source of referrals. Doctors, eye doctors specifically, refer patients to us while they treat their medical eye needs. We treat the totality of the rest of the individual. How do they manage their everyday lives with the low vision to no vision that they may have? And the one problem doctors found over and over again is when you tell somebody who's going through sight loss, they're already in an emotional state, having trouble. It's a little trauma, and that often leads to trouble accepting. And so if you say, I want you to go to the New Hampshire Association for the Blind, they hear the word blind, they panic. Am I going blind? And for many of them, maybe legally blind, maybe not. But most of them are going to have some usable sight. And the panic is that same mindset I said. I didn't know there was a difference between blind or legally blind. And we needed to not put patients in a mode of hiding or stepping away from services that are so valuable to them, even leaving the doctors because of that. So that's the motivation behind the name change. We're not embarrassed or ashamed. Being blind is fine, right? We believe there's a better future in sight when you connect to us. And we are Future Insight, serving the blind and visually impaired for over 111 years. And all of those things are positive. But the most important thing is, if you really want to serve people, you have to understand what the challenge is that's inhibiting it, and you have to remove those barriers. So that's the name change.
I always learn so much when I have a conversation with you. I never thought in terms of the referral, but it's kind of connecting with me because I recently had a friend who had a very significant detached retina, and was basically couldn't see out of one eye, and just kind of the thought of going blind was maybe even worse than the detached retina, itself. So that was great explanation. And also, time flies, because I remember one of your predecessors, George, when it was the 100th anniversary of the old name, and now you're at 111. Oh my God.
I remember the 100th anniversary. I walked 100 miles leading into the event to celebrate it. So this my legs still remember that day.
Life goes by fast. So I had the fortunate and pleasure, fortunate opportunity and pleasure to interview you and my co-authors as well, as that for my book Stories from the Starting Line. And of course, you were one of 61 runners, who we interviewed. And when I'm out on the road and talking to runners, I mean, inevitably they talk about your story when they say, "Oh God, I just finished the book. Randy's amazing." They sometimes talk about, Joseph Gray's near-death experience, which we put at the end of the book, where he had a training accident and was sliding off the side of the mountain and was ready, thought for sure he was going to die, and kind of relived his life and how that that changed him. And then sometimes they mention John Mortimer. They never realized, you know, someone of that. He was a prolific runner. He had a kidney issue and so forth. But they always, you know, mention you with, you know, they can't, they don't mention all 61 runners, obviously. So thank you, one. And I'm not putting a plug in for the book because people can get it at Gibson's or on Amazon, but all the proceeds go to, you know, for the underserved populations on rural health. But I learned, you know, I learned so much about what you've accomplished. And the one story you told me that to me is emblematic of you, your authenticity, was, you know, you were training for a huge national championship and the person that you were training with may not have been fast enough so you could achieve the record or the victory, but you thought it over and you said, you know what, I want to be loyal, you know, to the person I was going to be running with. And so you ended up running with that aide, that colleague, and you still won it. So after the break, we'll delve into that story, Jay, but that really totally resonated with me. One, that Randy was so authentic and basically sort of admitting that he was at one point thinking, I really want to break the record, but, you know, this person's too slow. and then deciding, hey, you know, I really need to stick to loyalty. And then he ended up with the best of both worlds, loyalty and winning. So more to come on that.
Best of both worlds there. Dr. Randy Pierce, president and CEO of Future Insight. Futureinsight.org is the website and offices in Concord. And the number to call is 603-224-4039. That's 603-224-4039. When we return, we'll have more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio right here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I'm Jay Dogg, alongside President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, Tom Raffio. This week's guest is Dr. Randy Pierce. He is the President and CEO of Future Insight, having a conversation of what used to be the New Hampshire Association for the Blind, now called Future Insight, and also talking about kind of the steps that some that are visually impaired can take essentially have dignity. I mean, certainly go and be a part of society without kind of the stigma, if you will, as Dr. Randy Pierce had mentioned in the last segment, there is no stigma, but some people might perceive being blind or visually impaired as a stigma.
Thanks, Jay. And the website is futureinsightoneword.org and the phone number is 224-4039, and right here in Concord, not too far from Delta Dental and Binney Media. So back to your physical activities, your running, your hiking, your martial arts. You know, I've told this story as well, where when I still run, but really slowly. But when I could run relatively fast, invariably we were at the same half marathons together, and like clockwork, Randy, at about mile 10 of a 13.1 mile race, you and your posse would pass me. And I always said, I gotta get to know this guy. This is when right now, you know, you would pass me in the first 10 feet, but in those days I could run. And it was like, you know, it was so impressive. So with all that you do, I mean, again, you run with a group, et cetera. How is the visual impairment and blindness affected, you know, your ability to, you know, to keep that physical activity to the level that you want it to be?
You know, like many things for many of us, it's what we allow it to do, to inhibit or to promote. When I first went blind, it absolutely inhibited because I thought I couldn't run. I couldn't do all these things. And, you know, that's rarely true. There's a great quote by Henry Ford, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. And, you know, that's the mindset that I like to have first, is that it's belief is important. Belief in yourself, belief in what you want to do. But that doesn't end it, right? It's not just believe and achieve. It's not magic. You've got to do some work. And what has happened is I've learned, especially in the running world, it's not a solo sport for me. It's a partnership. You know, I've run with my guide dogs when that was appropriate. I don't have a running guide dog right now, but I run with a person or sometimes a couple of different people. And we have to develop a language of communication that can be effective and efficient while we're breathing hard, while the course may be packed with people and some obstacles. And, you know, that's all a part of it. But that's what I believe in, right? For a guy who can't see, I'm a big believer in a couple of big C words, right? We need to commit to get things done. We need to connect with each other. We need to communicate, presumably in healthy ways. Then we need to collaborate. And when we do all those things, we can create the magic that makes our world beautiful. And for me, running became something I couldn't do. And anything that you lose the ability to do, you really learn how to appreciate it. And coming back from that, it's the gift I keep loving and hope to many years into my life when I'm steadily slower. So
I like the three C's: commit, connect, and collaborate. And I'm a little older than you, so it does happen when you become steadily slower, because both you and I are pretty tall and so not the normal runner's physique. So it makes it even that much more adventurous, if you will. So have you been able to apply some of your what you've learned to be physically a really good athlete to your professional career?
Absolutely, right? You know, first off, when you're training for anything, you learn something. You learn to check your ego at the door because you're trying to grow. And if you're masking any of that, you can't really grow to your best effectiveness. And I think the same thing is sort of true when you take into a leadership position. There's an essence of transparency and being authentic that is critical. And I like to promote something that I don't hear often enough, which is proactive transparency. Don't tell people just because they're willing to go looking for the information. Get them the things they need to know in advance and be open to that. So, I mean, that's a first big step. The second thing is some patience. You're running a marathon. You're not going out there at a sprinter's pace. There's a timing and a pacing for everything, and you've got to find that. And yours and others may be different, but if you want to get there as a team, you better find a way to bring that pace into an agreed, acceptable range for what you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the last examples is you're doing that. There's some endurance involved. You're going to hit some hard parts, and you better find ways to manage that, including, you know, we often will hear a voice in our head telling us why we're too tired, we should just stop, we should quit. And you can apply that into business terms. And I think it's essential to say that voice in our head, that's not us. We are the person listening, and that's passive. And as I believe in many things, don't be passive, be active, become the active voice saying, of course we can, and here's how. And that's maybe the last part of leadership. You want to listen, you want to develop all those plans, you want to understand what people need, you want to be willing to flex, be agile when it's appropriate. But there's times for guiding and showcasing the leadership and the direction that's needed. And all of those things come out in all aspects of running, training, and other athletics. So.
Yeah, and I think you segue to what was going to be my next question in terms of you're obviously like me, you're an author, but you're also an inspirational speaker, and I think you've kind of talked about some of the of your work. But who might inspire you? And when you are asked to talk in the community, what are some of the points, you know, that you make, some of which maybe you just mentioned?
Yeah, boy, there's so many points you can make. That's why, you know, public speaking is popular and common. People are always looking for inspiration. Myself, probably yourself as well. And I love a quote from Zig Ziglar who said, inspiration is like bathing. We need to repeat it daily, often. And, you know, to do that, there's many sources of inspiration. You know, I've got big inspiration in my wife. I see some of those same themes in some of your work. But, you know, if you've surrounded yourself by good people, they're part of your team. They're going to provide that inspiration, whether it's because they're teaching, coaching, whether they're an accountability partner holding you with some harsh candor you need to hear sometimes, or whether they're encouraging, you know, all those things are necessary. So I think that's important that you build a team around you that's going to be able to provide all of those things. But then I go out and look for it. You know, every day I like to start my day by saying, what's something that resonates for me positive? And you can Google search it, you do whatever you need to do to go find it. You know, nowadays, you know, all the AI, it should be putting it in my mailbox before I even start. But I'll add one more piece. You know, people often think when you're successful, you'll be happy, you'll be grateful. And I think the reverse order is true. If you're grateful, you'll be happy and you'll be successful. And I think starting with a cup of gratitude in the morning and thinking very specifically about the things that you have to be fortunate about, specifically in this day, the previous day, and use that as the mindset for what's going to take you with a focus forward. Because the days get hard. We all have them. And we get emotionally reactive, and our emotions are good because our emotions warn us, right? They tell us why we should be passionate or inspired, or maybe why we should be careful, have some fear or anxiety, but acknowledge them and put them to the side so that instead of an emotional reaction, you can have the thoughtful response that will take you where you really want to go.
That was awesome. I mean, so often when I listen to other leaders and inspirational people like yourself, the notion of gratitude does definitely, you know, bubble up to the top. Now, you've done some super amazing things. You're leading a great organization, doing compelling work. As mentioned, you've been a national champion. You've done some incredible hikes, et cetera. Is there anything left on your bucket list that you'd still like to accomplish?
I mean, you always have to have things on your bucket list because otherwise you're stagnating. And I don't want to stagnate. I want to be growing. I want to be learning and developing. You know, there's a short-term goal. I got my 15th marathon coming up in just under 3 weeks. But my long-term goal really is about this organization. That's why I take it, right? We want to have the passion for what we're doing. When 2010 arrived and I founded my prior organization, there were 4,000 people who were blind or visually impaired in New Hampshire. There are 28,000 today. And we know the reasons, we understand that, but what we haven't done is provided the means to ensure everybody gets connected, gets the services they need to live and thrive their best lives. That's what I get to do. And I want to make sure that every single one of them has that same opportunity because I think they'll be better for it, and so will our world.
Yeah, that's another reason why I can relate, because, you know, what we're talking about is above the neck health. And, you know, one of my expressions is, you know, everybody deserves a healthy smile, not just people that have, you know, traditional dental insurance. So people, as you know, we put in a Medicaid coverage, which was a lot of work, with that whole notion that, you know, everybody deserves a healthy smile, and it's so purpose driven. So love talking with you. Now, like me, I'm sure you've occasionally made a mistake. So has there been one particular boo-boo that you learned from and that has catapulted you to even greater heights?
Well, I wish I could say there was only one, but I'll select one. How's that? And I think probably one of my biggest mistakes ever is that I put together my first team, and I took all kinds of people who were attached and cared about the direction that we were going to try to go. But I didn't consider all the different ways people work with each other, and I didn't put the tools and systems to help them communicate and be their best selves. So I built a system that carried the emotion for a year and then hit some conflict as they tried to realize where they had their sticking points. And if I had put those things in advance, I could have protected them longer. We'd have done better work. We fixed all those things, but there was a cost, and I own that cost. Didn't cost me any friends, but it did impact some people and some organizations.
So we have about a minute left. As I see, J-Doug, what for someone that may be dealing with a site issue, as now putting back your president, CEO of Future Insight hat on, any words of wisdom? And the contact information again, folks are listening, is 224-4039, and the website is futureinsight.org. But 30 seconds word of wisdom for your organization.
Yeah, you know, New Hampshire, we're so stoic. You know, I'll get by, I can handle this, and they're absolutely right. But we can make it a lot easier because they don't have to get by sacrificing. They can get by learning, getting the right tools, and doing all the things they want with a little help. Reach out early, reach out often.
Love it. Thanks, Dr. Pierce. J-Dog,
yes.
Inspiring, right?
Yeah, very, very much so. And Dr. Randy Pierce is the guest this week on an all-new Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And we're going to wrap up this edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Fear not, we'll have another edition in the near future here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. For Tom Raffio, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, as well as Dr. Randy Pierce, the president and CEO of Future Insight, futureinsight.org. And the number again is 603-224-4039. I'm J-Dog. We'll be back with another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New